Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be His helpers? Other lives to bring.
Well, good morning, my friend. I'm Pastor Joel, and once again, it's my privilege to be with you for Missionary Echoes. Today, we're going to talk about the blessings of God, and included in that is the grace and mercy God shows to those He blesses. A little boy was once observed playing baseball by himself, and the observer heard him say, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world," before tossing a ball in the air, and he promptly swung on the ball and missed. "Strike one," he cried out, repeating, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." He picked up the ball again, tried again with the same results. "Strike two," he called out and paused for a moment to examine his bat and his ball carefully. And then for the third time, threw the ball in the air and crying out, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world," swung the bat and missed. Undiscouraged, though, he cried out, "Wow, strike three, batter's out, and what a pitcher. I'm the greatest pitcher in the world." You know, sadly, I'm afraid that's what some people do when it comes to spiritual things. They're confident in their spiritual ability and their own strength, and they justify and compliment themselves before God, trusting in their own spiritual power rather than trusting in the power of God. The grace of God has been extended or given to each one of us, and if we're to boast, let us boast in the power of Almighty God. It's the power that will save us, transform sinners, take lives that are wrecked by sin, and give us new hope and a home in heaven someday. Praise the Lord this morning for His transforming power. Let's pray this morning. Lord, thank you for the blessing of prayer. Thank you that we're able to bring our cares and concerns to an almighty God who's able to meet each need. For life and health and strength, Lord, we thank you. You know, each one of us that's listening right now to this program, the challenges of life that we face, our hurts, our heartaches, our joys and our triumphs, and you're with each one of us even now. Lord, if there be one listening today who does not know you, would you put an unquenchable desire in their heart to know you and your power and your fullness? Oh Lord, you're faithful to each one of us. So help us, Lord, to be faithful to speak and to share with those who are in need of you. We realize that some listeners today are dealing with problems that only you know. And as we ask you this morning, would you wrap your arms around them and may they trust you fully for the strength and help that they need. Lord, walk with us today. Would you empower us to fulfill your will and your calling in our lives? Thank you again for your blessings. Thank you for your help, and may your will be accomplished through us today, we pray. Amen. This program is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. Our goal as a church is to connect people to Jesus by delivering the gospel to those who need it, by discipling converts as they would walk with God, and by deploying believers to share the message of the gospel. Now today we welcome Nathaniel and Erica Morley as they're joining our church for a ministry internship. We look forward to having them with us for a couple of weeks as they're preparing for their future work for the Lord. This coming week, a local interchurch holiness convention will be taking place in central Pennsylvania, and it's going to be our privilege to host the closing service on Sunday night, September 11th, beginning at 6:30 p.m. I hope that you'll be able to join us for some great preaching and singing. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can always go to lebanongmc.com, where you can watch live broadcasts of our services, find out about upcoming events, and even share prayer requests with us. That's lebanongmc.com.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we must forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory.
Our text for today is taken from Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus is giving the disciples a model prayer for them to consider. There's much that we can learn from this model prayer as well, and I hope that you're challenged as we read through this morning. Matthew chapter 6, and beginning to read at verse number 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That first phrase, Our Father, which art in heaven. You know, if you think about it, this establishes our position in relationship to God. We don't come to God as a business partner or as a heavenly board member intending to convince the CEO or the chairman to see it our way, speaking to them as we would of an equal. But we should rather come in humility to bow before God in holy fear of the Almighty, coming to Him as His children who come to a loving Father, trusting fully in His ability to meet their needs and bear every burden. I think here Jesus gives us a great picture of God as the Almighty, but also accessible by man. He hears your voice. He knows your heart cry. He knows your pain. He knows all about it. And just as a child can bring their heartaches and pains to a loving father, we have similar access to God. Just as we'd respect and honor a good, godly father, so God is fully deserving of our love and our respect. That next phrase says, Hallowed be thy name. We recognize that everything about God is holy. He's sovereign. Now, here in the States, we don't really have a king, do we? But my relatives up in Canada still live in a constitutional monarchy, and Queen Elizabeth II is their head of state. For them, it's a privilege to see the queen in person or receive correspondence from the royal family. So I know for my family, it was quite special years ago when my great-grandmother received a letter from Queen Elizabeth congratulating her on her 100th birthday. That letter is now a family keepsake. But, you know, as we enter the presence of the King of Kings, we realize it's not something to be taken lightly or irreverently. But this isn't just the head of state. No, this is the creator of the universe. He's unhindered by time and space. He is the ultimate example of holiness. As we consider how holy and awesome he is, we bow down before him. And like the cherubim, acknowledge that he is holy. In our lips, his name is hallowed or held sacred because he is the ultimate authority. There's none higher than he. That next phrase says, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, again, God is sovereign, and we acknowledge him as so. Here we're pledging our loyalty to him and his kingdom. I'm personally proud to be an American citizen, but if the day comes when I would need to choose between America as my home, and the kingdom of God as my home, and my citizenship, my choice is made. Because, you see, this here is my short-term dwelling place. But someday, I'm looking to make my eternal home in a city that's not made by man's hands. I think, though, that the kingdom of God goes beyond an earthly government as well. God knows our thoughts. There's nothing hidden from him. And each and every one of us is either obeying or rebelling God's rule in our life. In this model prayer, we acknowledge that God's kingdom and power is good and right and just. And we're desiring that heaven and earth be at peace with his rule, and all is made right. We recognize that fallen mankind can make a mess of this earth, and a mess of our relationships with each other, do great damage to each other when we try to live for our own selfish purposes. This is why we look for God's kingdom to come, for him to be the judge, for him to lay down the law, and do as he sees fit. The next phrase here, give us this day our daily bread. It's a great reminder that God is our provider and our sustainer. In more ways than we can count, God is moment by moment providing for our needs. We're acknowledging him as our sustainer. We're asking that he continue to bless and provide for us. Notice as well here that this is a request for today's needs. Now, there will certainly be needs in the future, won't there be? But isn't there a level of trust here shown in God? It's as if tomorrow I'll come with the same request and confidence that it will be answered. But Lord, today, I'm just asking for today. You know, this isn't a request for a grand fortune that would guarantee a self-sufficient lifestyle, but rather, it's a daily dependence on God. My friend, the Christian is looking to God to daily supply our needs as the giver of strength and health. All we do, all we accomplish, even our self-worth, is wrapped up in him as our creator and sustainer. The next phrase says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Oh, sin has caused every one of us to owe a debt to God, a debt for which we were insolvent. But Jesus Christ, God's own Son, paid that debt that we could be reconciled to God. And thanks to Jesus, there is forgiveness of sins. You know, too, in our personal relationships, God knows every debt we've incurred, and even if there's ones that we have no intention to repay. I think this is a very important part of prayer that Jesus is sharing with us here. God is just. He knows what we're hanging on to in our relationships with others. And no matter how deep the pain or the scars may be, God wants to help us to forgive and find healing for those scars and those pains. In verses 14 and 15, Jesus speaks to this point, making it clear that relationships with our fellow man directly impacts our relationship with God. The equation was simple. He said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's very simple. It's very plain. God wants you to make things right, get things taken care of in your life, in your relationships with others. He'll help you with it, but he's not going to just simply overlook it and allow you to just slide on through, thinking everything's right when it's not. The next phrase here says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We dare not trust our own strength or power to resist Satan, but we need to rely on the one who promised that we will not be tempted above that which we are able to bear. Now, to be clear, God is not the one who tempts us with evil, is he? But at times, he allows us to go through times of testing and temptations. He's always there, though, providing a way of escape, keeping guard set around us to keep at bay the forces of Satan. He's not leading us into temptation, but he's there to deliver us from it. And finally, that phrase, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And the prayer ends with a pledge of loyalty to his eternal kingdom, doesn't it? Acknowledging the power by which the kingdom is governed and maintained, and the glory which is due unto our God for time unending. That word, amen, it's kind of as if we're resting fully in his ability. We're confident that He is able to fulfill all the petitions we bring before Him. I like the words of the hymn, "My Faith Has Found a Resting Place," written by Eliza Hewitt. It says, "My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living One, His words for me shall plead. Enough for me that Jesus saves, this ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I came to Him, He'll never cast me out. My heart is leaning on the Word, the living Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through His blood. My great physician heals the sick, the lost He came to save. For me His precious blood He shed, and for me His life He gave." And the chorus says, "I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me."
There at the bedside of a suffering loved one, all earthly hope now exhausted and gone, you lift up your eyes to your Father in heaven, pleading for help as you kneel at His throne. Then like a whisper, those eyes flutter open. You look up to see that the crisis has passed. You know once again that God has delivered. You reached out for mercy. He's answered at last. Within the reach of a prayer, God has provision, grace sufficient for every petition. He has healing for the wounded and mercy to spread, and it's all within the reach of a prayer. Begging bread searching the darkness, and suddenly He's there. Within the reach of a prayer, God has provision, grace sufficient for every petition.
Well, my friend, thank you for joining me again for Missionary Echoes. I trust that you are and will be blessed of God this week. This is Pastor Joel wishing you God's blessing.
When sorrow Oh,